God, for the people of God. Our reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, verses 25 through 32. I will be reading the NIV version. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Saul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then he spoke the word of the Lord to them, to him, and to all the others in his house. The word of God for the people of God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Hallelujah. It's prayer time. Thank you, God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, good morning, God. Our Father, good morning, Christ, the Son. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Father, we come now in the name of Jesus, thanking you, O God, for this day that you have made. Praising you, O Lord, for this time that you have allowed us to be in your presence one more time. We come this morning, God, loving you because you first loved us. But loving you more, God, because we've learned how much you love us, God. We come this morning, God, thanking you for life, health, and strength. We come this morning, God, appreciating you for being our caretaker, for being our keeper, God. We come this morning, Lord, knowing that all things, oh God, are possible if we only believe. And with you and through you, God, all things are possible. We come this morning, God, thanking you for life today. That we still have breath in our bodies. That we still, God, are in our right mind. We thank you, Lord, that today the blood is still running warm in our veins. And God, for that, we say thank you. We lift our hands in your presence, O God, with a hallelujah. Glory to the Most High God. We give you honor this morning, God. And we give you praise, Lord. We thank you for being God and for being God all by yourself. We thank you that you don't need our help to be God, O God, but you could use our help to do the things on this earth that must be done. And this morning, God, we say thank you. We say good morning, Father. Good morning, Son. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. Good morning. Good morning, people of God. We just bless the Lord, O our soul, and all that is within us. We bless his holy name this morning. And we just thank God for keeping us one more day. We thank God for the things we've seen and the things we've heard since the last time he allowed us to be in your presence. We thank God for life just as it is right now, because he's an on-time God and he's a right-now God. Amen. So good morning this morning, people of God. We thank you for joining us this morning, and we pray that God is going to bless mightily this morning. And we came back to tell you again that saved lives matter. Elder read in our hearing this morning from Acts 16th chapter. And we want to share Romans 10, 9 and 10 with you right now. The word of God says, thank you, Lord, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart it says, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, this thing, the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And that's something about this thing called the mouth. It says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The word of God this morning for the people of God. We're going to touch on a few other scriptures, and we want to go back to Acts 16. Elder read in our hearing this morning, the 25th through the 32nd verses, and talked about Paul and Silas, and we're going to give you the revised, the shorter version, because I can imagine that so much went on with Paul and Silas that night in jail. Word of God tells us around midnight while they were locked up in jail, they were praying and singing hymns to God. See, them being locked up didn't stop their praise. Them being caught up in some stuff of the world didn't stop their praise. They were praying and singing hymns to God. I'm here to tell you, that's the time, oh my gosh, that you need to pray and sing hymns to God. And it says that the other prisoners were listening. You see, while we are praying and singing and we are worshiping God, there are others looking on. It says the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake. Things began to shake up. And oh my gosh, the foundations of that very prison were moved. And it says in the word that all of the doors of the prison flew open. It says everyone's chains came loose, and the jailer, he who was guarding them, woke up. It says that when he woke up and he saw the doors open, oh my God, he drew his sword and tried to kill himself. He was about to do it because he felt like at that very moment, he had failed at what it was he was supposed to do. Don't you dare take your life because you feel like you failed. Because God is waiting on the other side of your through, amen? And at that very moment that he drew that sword, Paul and Silas called out, told him, don't kill yourself. We are all still here. You see, that jailer thought that because those doors were open that the prisoners had escaped. But God didn't allow the prisoners to move, amen? And they shouted, don't harm yourself. We're all here, don't do it. Sometimes we've got to listen for somebody yelling in our ear. We've got to listen to the Spirit of God moving before we do something that's going to harm ourselves. Amen. Oh my gosh. And then it says that he brought them out and he looked at Paul and Silas and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Well, I'm going to remind you of giving again, right at that point of Romans 10, that if thou shalt, 9 and 10, if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him, Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And Paul and Silas said to him, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. It said, you and your household, because you're the man of the house. You are who over the household. So if you believe in the Lord Jesus, then you and your whole household will be saved. And they didn't stop there. It says they continued to speak the word of the Lord to him. You see, sometimes when we pull the new saints in, we think they're okay. We've got to continue to feed them with the word of God. Oh, my Lord. We've got to continue to speak the word of God to them. We've got to learn, saints, how to speak the word of God even in our own lives. It says they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. You see, sometimes we've got to go past the person we're talking to. We got to make sure that word is being expounded in that household, that it's being spread in that household. We've got to make sure that while we're speaking the word in our own life, that we're speaking that word in our household. You see, oh my God, they continue to work. They continue to spread the word because of this thing right here. Save lives matter. Paul and Silas understood their mission, and their mission was to preach the word of God so that folks might be saved. So they understood their mission, and they fulfilled what they needed to do because saved lives mattered. And today, I tell you, saved lives still matter. I asked God to slow me down a little bit this morning and help me to make sure this word is imparted to you so that you get the full effect. Amen. And while I'm right there, I want to tell you that your saved life matters. Your life needs to be saved because your saved life matters. The enemy, you see, doesn't want us to understand what our salvation is all about. Our salvation is not about going to church. Ah, has God shown us that? Our salvation is not being a part of a specific congregation. Our salvation is not about, oh my God, denomination this or denomination that. But what our saved lives are about is whether we have confessed with our mouth and we believe in our heart, oh my God, that Christ died and God rose him, brought him back from the dead. If you believe that and you confess it, the word says, then you shall be saved. They told that jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our saved lives are not about whether we came up in church. Saved lives matter. You may have never stepped in a church in your life, but your saved life matters. And it's time now that you begin to follow Jesus and do the things that he has called you to do. Don't let the enemy trip you up. Don't let the enemy cause you to get caught up in all the other stuff. Save lives matter. Yes, my opinion matters, but does it matter at the cost of losing my soul? Yes, what I think might matter, but does it matter at the cost of losing my soul? You see, many of us, and I want to talk about men and women of God. Sometimes we as the men and women of God, you see, I'm going to talk to the parishioners this morning. Because I know you look on sometimes and we're quickly judged about certain things. And I feel that we should be held at a higher standard because we are supposed to represent what God has sent us to do. We should be held at a higher standard. You see, God has no respect of person. That means that he can use anybody he wants to use. I haven't always been preaching for the Lord. I haven't always been seeking the Lord. Come on, God. But you see, when we get to a certain place in God, when we profess with our mouths the Lord Jesus, and we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we're supposed to be different, y'all. Saved lives matter. I'm going to talk to us this morning because God is saying right here, that even in the midst of your saved life, the enemy is trying to catch you off guard. Even in the midst of your saved life, man, woman of God, church goer, church member, the enemy is trying to catch you off guard. He knows this thing this morning that saved lives matter. Now I'm going to have to go here. And that's why he keeps throwing up in our face, those of people of color, that Black lives matter. I might not get an amen on that, But let me tell you what the enemy is doing. He's concocting, you see. He's construing, you see. He's doing everything he can to cause things to be disruptive. He's doing everything he can to show us up. He's doing everything he can, you see, with his conniving self, to cause us to focus on things other than our salvation. Black Lives Matter, racial crimes, bigotry, death and murder. He wants us to get so caught up in those things that are going to happen because the word of God already reminded us that they would happen, that we forget about our very soul. And while we are marching on the front line, while we've been offended, while our mothers and fathers may have been offended, while our family may have been offended, some of us, I thank God, and God forbid in my life, have lost our children to hate crimes or just to crime. And I don't even understand how we can label any crime or a specific crime a hate crime. Because to me, all crimes are hate crimes. To me, every murder is a murder of hate. Because do you know what the opposite of hate is? The opposite of hate is love. And anytime we wrong our brother or sister, or we wrong each other, it's a hate crime. And it's a hateful shame. So I have to tell us again this morning that saved lives matter. Why do they matter? Because saved lives live in a way that's pleasing to God. Saved lives build up and don't tear down. Save lives. Come on, God. Cause people to come to God and not to fall away from him. My God, what are you willing to give up to make sure that you're living a saved life? Are you willing to kill and lose your integrity and mess around and lose your soul? Or are you willing to let go and let God fight your battles to save that very soul? Sometimes we have to do what I taught in my class for years. Stop, look, and listen. And I'm actually a victim or a partaker of not always stopping, looking, or listening. Sometimes I get caught up because, let me tell you, the enemy is very crafty. And he's not going after the world, y'all. He's coming after us. Why should he go after the world? The world is already on his side. You see, he's coming for the saved lives because the saved lives might begin to diminish those lives that have fallen off. The saved lives and the saved people, I'm not talking about churchgoers this morning. The saved people, you see, may begin to speak the word of God and to live the word of God in such a manner that those who are not saved might come to the Lord, our God. Saved folks, we ought to be able to love in spite of. We've got to love past the foolishness, but guess what? We also have to love past the hate. We've got to love our neighbor as ourselves. Who is our neighbor? Our fellow man, whether they're saved or they're not saved. We've got to love them like we love ourselves because Christ first loved us. You see, when he imparts that love into us, our love ought to spread because the word of God said love conquers all. Let's talk for just a moment about the 8th chapter of John. Christ reminded us, thank you, Lord, in the 8th chapter of John, that he who was without sin should cast the first stone, my God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let me just share that story with you a moment. There was a lady who was brought to Christ by her accusers, and they brought her before him in a platform, in the midst of a forum, in the midst of a crowd, and said to him that this woman was an adulterer, and that according to the laws of Moses, she should be stoned like God. And Christ looked upon them and he said, well, if there's any among you who is without sin, you cast the first stone. You throw the rock at her. And I'm going to stop for just a moment there, because I can imagine Christ thinking in his spirit, because when they brought her to him, he didn't respond right away. He stooped down and began to write in the sand as if to ignore them. And sometimes we have to take ourselves to a different place, you see, when the enemy presents us with these things. We have to go to a different place, you see, and focus on something else. And when he finally got up and he confronted them with that word, they begin to walk away one after another. The word says from the youngest to the oldest, they begin to disappear because nobody could throw that stone. But understand, it goes beyond that, because Christ then spoke to that woman and he asked her, where are those who condemn you? Who is it that speaks up against you? And she looked around and said, no one. He said, well, I don't condemn you either. So save lives, you've got to help save lives. People of God, you got to begin to bring in more people to be people of God. Don't come to me, I can imagine Christ saying, to throw the stone, because that's exactly what they were doing. Don't you be used and let somebody cause you to throw the stone. You see, when the accuser comes, he comes for the people of God. He comes to cause us to miss our salvation. So while you're out there on the front line, God's going to bring this to a head. While you're marching for whatever your cause, whether you're marching for Black Lives Matter, whether you're marching for racial injustice, I'm going to be very transparent this morning. Whether you're out there marching for the LGBT, you need to understand none of that matters, but save lives matter. While you're out there marching because you want freedom of speech for this and for that, while you're out there tearing down Confederate statues, come on, God, while you're down, you can't change the world by tearing down anything. What you've got to do is build up in the Spirit of God and begin to build the people up and allow them to see the love of God, and that's what's going to save them. So why don't you tell somebody while you're on that front line? Go out there with them. Tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus. Tell somebody about the life that he gave for you and me. Tell somebody about how he forgave. Forgive. Tell somebody about how Jesus, the Christ, was able to save you or save somebody else from their very sin. Tell somebody about how Christ will loose the captive and set them free. Tell somebody about the woman he spoke to, even at the well. See, Christ didn't display racial injustice at that time. He had no business, according to the laws of his people, to be congregating with that Samaritan woman. If Christ could overlook it, so can we. Tell somebody about the woman who was about to be stoned. We just talked about that. For her lack of even having a husband, when they said she had many. How Christ encouraged the crowd while at the same time daring them. Who among you without sin? You cast the first stone. Don't bring me a stone to throw. Devil. Because when you taking stones Or like our grandparents and our mothers used to say, every dog bringing a bone is carrying a bone. When you the one carrying the bone, getting ready to throw the stone, don't bring your stone to me. Don't bring that bone to me. And I can tell tests in my life where people have come to me to tell me things about something. No. Don't bring that to me. I don't want to hear it. Let me and that person settle that. My God. Tell somebody about how God is able to pick you up and turn you around. Stop telling them all this other stuff. Tell them about how God, he himself, manifested himself in the flesh through a virgin girl named Mary, through his counterpart, the Holy Spirit, entered into her womb and planted the seed that would grow until eternity. Tell somebody about how God himself came in the form of his son, Jesus Christ, how he walked this earth. Tell them about how he came seeking and saving those who were lost. We were lost, saved people. Saved lives matter. My life matters because I'm saved. My life matters because I'm saved. Tell somebody about how Christ gave his life on Calvary so that we might know today and always that we can be free. Tell somebody, because saved lives matter. Tell somebody that it is saved lives that matter. If you're black and you're not saved, I have to tell you, you really don't matter. If you're white and you're not saved, I'm going to tell you this morning, you don't matter either. Oh, but if you're saved and you're an Asian, if you're saved and you're Caucasian, if you're saved and you're European, if you're saved and you're Jamaican, if you're saved and you're Hawaiian, if you're saved and you're an Irishman, if you're saved and you're poor, if you're saved and you're rich, if you're saved and you're staying at home and sheltering in, if you're saved and you're out there in the streets, if you're saved and you're in the White House, if you're saved and you come out of a whorehouse, if you're saved and you are a liar and you were a liar and a cheat, if you're saved and you and your ancestors were beat, if you're saved and Corona was positive on your test, if you're saved and you have had to walk away from those who continually keep you in mess, if you're saved and you're a cancer survivor, if you're saved and you are a victim of cancer, if you're saved and you walked out on your children and your husband, if you're saved and you cheated on your wife. You see, that's the people who Christ came to save. Those who were lost, those who were condemned, those who messed up, those who were not perfect. And I thank God, I'm not perfect. I wasn't perfect. I thank him for saving me. If you're saved, it doesn't matter now. Those things behind you, you leave behind you. Because if you're saved, it means you've been delivered. If you're saved, it means you've been set free. Yes, the stuff hurts our flesh, man. The very things we see going on disturb us. But we cannot allow it to cause us to mess around and lose our souls. Let me tell you, you've got to pray and ask God to show you this thing in the spirit and come out of the carnal. What you're seeing on the news, there is nothing new under the sun. You see, we see it more now because of social media. We see it more now, I tell you, because of the airways. We see it more. It's been going on. It's been going on since the beginning of time. My God, since God spoke and brought us into this world, Jesus, and even before then, Satan was up to his no good foolishness, kicked out of heaven, trying to take over. He's still trying. He already knows he's defeated. He knows saved lives matter. And that's why he's bringing up everything else, because it's a distraction. It's a disruption. It's something he's creating in the atmosphere. He doesn't want you to go forward. Don't you mess around and get caught up in that stuff. You walk out there and you are not covered. And you leave out of this world the wrong way. Doesn't matter now. You've been delivered. You've been set free. Know the word of God, and God is not telling us to let people do us any kind of way, but we've got to be wise. We've got to be wise. We've got to seek the Lord. We say, trust in the Lord with all our heart. We say, lean not to our own understanding. We say, in all our ways and all, acknowledge him. Let him direct your path. Let God tell you whether you're going out there or not. And when you go with the purpose of telling somebody about the goodness of Jesus. You go on to that walk. You go to that march. You ask somebody, do you know the Lord Jesus in the pardon of your sins? You might ask that question. I'm going to be very graphic right now. The very person that you ask that question of, do you know the Lord Jesus in the pardon of your sins? Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. Right at that very moment that they receive Christ, be taken out by a bullet, be taken out in a car accident, be taken out from this world for the last time. Christ said, thank you, Lord. Oh, God, slow me down a little bit, Father. In Luke, the 4th chapter, the 18th and 19th verses, Christ said this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he, the Lord, has anointed me, Christ, to proclaim good news to the poor. He, God, the Lord, has sent me, his Son, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to free you from oppression. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. If you're saved and they're talking about you, you're saved. If you're saved, know that you've been delivered. You've been set free. Your life matters. Your saved life matters. Somebody say, saved lives matter. Saved lives matter. Can you imagine that if the marches became saved lives matter? And the glory of God was to shine down and to come down. And the Holy Spirit, like the day of Pentecost, was to rise up in the name of Jesus. Save lives matter. Then the oppressor cannot oppress anymore. In the name of Jesus. Oh my God. God is our refuge. He is our very present help in the time of need. My saved lives matter. Your saved life matters. If you're not saved, I have to tell you, you really don't matter right now because you need to get saved. You need to get right. Why am I saying they don't matter? Somebody's saying, Pastor, that's too hard. But if they're not saved and the enemy should come and death should overtake them, their life didn't matter. They won't see eternal life with God. They'll see eternal life burning in the pits of hell. You see, that's when Christ said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you, God. Have it more abundantly. You know how I know saved lives matter? Because even if we die, because we're saved, because we've marched for the cause of Christ, and we are killed for the cause of Christ, our very souls get to wait under the altar of the Almighty God until such a time that he releases his Son to come back for us. Let's look at Revelation 6th chapter, the 9th through the 11th verse, and then we're almost done. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Do you know that when death presents itself, you need to know that your saved life is okay? because you're just going to sleep. And Christ is going to reawaken you. Thank you, Lord. Revelation, the 6th chapter, the 9th through the 11th verse, it says this. When the Lamb broke the 5th seal, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. They held to their testimony. They didn't let go because family wanted them to let go. They didn't stop professing Christ because the world wouldn't profess Christ. They didn't give up because their lives were in danger. They didn't stop. They took the bullet. Many of them were beheaded, but they went down because of the cause of Christ. And they cried out under that altar, thank you, Lord, with a loud voice to God, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? These are the souls, y'all, that have gone on, thank you, Lord, because of the cause of Christ. And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So you know how I know saved lives matter? Again, because when we die, because we're saved, because we march for the cause of Christ and are killed for the cause of Christ. Thank you, Lord. When death presents itself, death cannot harm us. Death can only put us to sleep. But oh, I tell you, if you're not saved and death comes, you're lost. You're lost. There is no other opportunity. So that's why saved lives matter. And saved lives need to help save lives. Saved lives really do matter. And I tell you, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are what matters the most. Father, we thank you now for this word this morning, God. We give you glory this morning. We give you honor and we give you praise. And we thank you, Lord, for teaching us, for showing us, for keeping us, for covering us, God. When we've let go of the things of this world, God, they don't matter. They might hinder us. They might pester us. They might try to, distract us. They might even betray us. But what we need to remember, God, help us to remember, Father, and to stay focused and to stay saved and stay before you, oh God, and not to, oh God, compromise, God, anything for you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask you for forgiveness for every one of us, oh God, who are before you this morning. We ask forgiveness in our spirit, our mind, and our soul, oh God, for anything that we've done outside of your will. And we pray, oh God, for those who may not be saved, oh God, that they receive this word, oh God. And right now, we pray that they confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart, oh God, that you raise him from the dead, oh Lord. Oh God, that they believe on Jesus Christ as the Son of the Most High God, and they will be saved. And if they pray that prayer this morning, God, we declare and decree before the angels of heaven that they are saved. There's no turning back. God's not going to let you go. He's not going to release you because somebody's still talking about you. He's not going to let you go. He's not going to give up on you when your family gives up on you. He's not going to turn you away when your job says you're no more good for the job. He's not going to do that because he's God. And first and foremost, God's end goal, his meaning for us, his end to our life is that we be saved so that we can live with him eternally out of this earth and into heaven. Amen. Come on, give God a praise where you are. We thank you that saved lives matter. And I thank God. I thank God this morning. Thank you, Lord, for my sister. I'm going to veer a little bit to a different place right now. My friend, my mentor. And I want to just take a moment and honor God for her life this morning. I want to take a moment this morning before all of you, men and women, boys and girls everywhere, her family, our friends, our family, God, to honor our sister and our friend, Miss Kimberly Ann Chappelle Stevens, a great woman in God and of God. And we thank God that without a shadow of a doubt, thank you, Lord, that she knew the Lord, that she was saved. She honored God. She loved God. And she loved God more than she loved us, more than she loved her family, more than anything in this world. Thank you, Lord. And she had to go with him when he called. When he called. She's asleep now, waiting for that day that Christ shall come. And the word of God says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Kim, we bless God for your spirit. We give honor for your life. And we say amen. Amen. And amen. Come on, somebody, love God with me. Thank you, Lord. One of the conversations I had with Kim maybe a month ago, and she was following us every Sunday morning. She was right there with you guys. And she called me after one of the services. And she would call me either that Sunday or Monday and just talk about the word and how the word blessed her, how the word was building her up, how the word was strengthening her. And she'd always say, sister, I don't know how you know what that word was for me. Well, I say to those of you who are saying the word is for you this morning, I don't know your inner thoughts, but God knows what you have need of. And one of the things Kim said was to me, you need to tell me how to bless the ministry. And I know you all realize a few weeks ago we started talking about it's giving time. And we did that because of that admonition from her. The ministry needs to be blessed so that we can continue to do what we do. And Rhema is not just a Facebook Live messenger. We truly work and live for God. And we work for the people of God. And we thank God this morning for our mission and our vision. This morning, that we foster an atmosphere of true worship. We reap souls for Christ. That's saved lives matter. Saved lives matter. We reap souls for Christ, and we empower the people of God through outreach, teaching, and fellowship. And not so much of them receiving the outreach, but them learning how to give, to reach out to others. See, we've got to learn how to minister in outreach. Not always our hands open to get, but we've got to release and let go. Seed some things into some people's lives. And we bless God this morning. So we give him glory, honor, and praise. And we ask that you consider giving this morning. And we bless God. Father, we thank you now for the givers. We thank you now for the those, oh God, who are in covenant with us, our partners, God. And oh God, we ask in the name of Jesus, you don't have to give to Rhema. But if you're being blessed by this ministry, that you would ask God to allow you. But we ask that whatever ministry that you're a part of, that you sow into that ministry. Whatever ministry is blessing your life right now, that you give into that ministry. You pray for your pastors. You pray for your teachers. And you give as God has given unto you. We give him glory now, honor and praise. We thank God for you. And remember, remember covenant partners. Remember membership. Remember our Facebook listeners. Remember that every person we meet is a prospective soul for the kingdom of God. Their saved life does matter. Amen and amen.
Sunday morning.